17th chapter of the book of Proverbs. Stand in reverence to the reading of God's word. We're going to read verse 34. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Let us pray. Father, again thanking you for the word of God, your goodness, your kindness to this nation. Lord, help us to be what we should be for you. And Lord, tonight, the preacher sure needs you. Lord, needs your power, needs your wisdom. And I ask you, Lord, to give me that which I need, and that is you. And so, Father, once again tonight, we ask you for the blessings of God upon these services. Thank you, Father, that you've taken care of our people, watched over them, helped them. And surely the song was true, you will take care of us. And we thank you for it. Now, once again, placing all these things in your hands, asking your blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We're real near Christmas. And it's a special time of year. It's also a dangerous time of year. I just want to encourage you. I understand something. Your pastor, when he stands up here, in no way can tell you what to do as far as your personal life, how you spend your money, how you don't spend your money. But I do believe it is my responsibility to try to help encourage you and warn you. I believe that's my responsibility. And I want to encourage you at this time of year to be very careful in your Christmas spending. Now again, I'm saying that from my heart to yours. Don't go in debt for Christmas. Folks, it isn't worth it. Most of the people we will be buying for this year, many times, people are bought things they really don't need, really don't want, and really won't use. But the money is spent simply because we feel that it's necessary for us to get gifts. Now, what I'm saying to you is simply this. Use wisdom in your spending. When you're done at the end of the Christmas year, season, don't look back and being dead over it. Amen. Now, I'm just giving you good advice. Love you. It's one of those things that multitudes of people go into debt for. The credit cards are well known for what they can do to you. And your pastor's preached, again, you do what you will. You'll make those decisions. But the best thing you can do with a credit card, if you cannot in any way control it, you need to cut it up and get rid of it. Just want to encourage you about that. Don't overspend for Christmas. Don't go in deep debt. It's not proper. It's not God's will for your life. There's so many things we can do for Christmas for each other without going into debt. I've practiced, my wife has for some years, and I know some of you do too. I know we try to make some things for our Christmas gifts. I know others do that same thing. You might not be able to make all your Christmas gifts, but be wise. Just use wisdom. In all seriousness, folks, it isn't worth it. Amen? To go in debt and be in debt after Christmas. I'm just saying that to be a blessing to you, help to you. But at the same time, have an enjoyable Christmas time. Have a sweet, precious time. Remember what it's all about. Amen? It's about He who, as Brother Poet preached to us, gave us the greatest gift. Gifts that it was ever given. That's Jesus Christ and eternal life. That's what it's all about. And so let me just encourage you about that. Now you say, Brother Ross, why are you saying that? I think it's important that I do that because I believe with all of my heart one of the greatest problems in America today is this thing on materialism. I believe that's one of the great sins in America. I believe that. Hearts are so desire the material things of life. They get so caught up, they get so entangled in these things, they begin to spend money that they do not have. And so problems arise. So again, I'm encouraging you, You will make those decisions, but I'm encouraging you to simply don't overspend. Our nation is in terrible shape. Whether you understand it or not, the sin of materialism is the same sin that was evident in the days of Lot and Noah. They was busy, caught up with the things of the world, and eating, drinking, and being merry, and all of those things, and they didn't even realize God was going to judge. And to some degree, I believe that's where we're at now. I believe that we are so concerned with comfort of life, with the pleasures of life and obtaining wealth, that we might build up wealth, that we really don't much concerned about God and His plan for this old planet Earth. So again, I say to you, be careful. Amen? Be careful. Now the children of America rise up and say, Pastor, what are you doing telling my parents not to buy me gifts? There's many more gifts that you can give them greater than spending and going in debt for. Amen. You spend wisely. Amen. And I trust and hope that you will. The real problem, and I realize this, and I think you do too, if you have some understanding of the scriptures, I think you understand that the problem in America certainly is a spiritual problem. If you have any understanding whatsoever, you understand that the real problem we have in America now is spiritual. Now, those problems manifest themselves in multitudes of ways, but they're basically spiritual problems. It's what we have in America. And spending and going in debt is one of the manifestations of spiritual problems. It's just one of the manifestations of it in America. America is a land who is absolutely in debt. They'll never be able to get out of that. Now, they want to tell you that all their budget, balancing the budget and all that stuff, but why do we have $1 trillion debt? I've never figured that thing out. Maybe somebody smarter than I can do that, but I mean, they tell you they're balancing the budget, and yet we have $1 trillion debt. To me, that's not balanced. That's the same way with Indiana. Indiana says we have all this excess, but if you find out what we owe other people, that excess should go to pay what we owe. Amen. So I'm simply saying, you know, it's just kind of foolishness. Our problem is spiritual. I understand that. Our problem is spiritual. It isn't anything else, but it manifests itself in so many different ways. Darrell Champlin, I believe, one of the great missionaries of our time. You remember Darrell, Brother Champlin, when he was here in our church? He's the one, he literally walked on fire. He doesn't brag about that. He literally did. God used him. He walked on fire because of a challenge from a witch doctor. And God allowed him to do it. He was here in this church, and he spoke, and he's in Sunan. He's not there right now, but that's where he was a missionary at. And I think he's one of the great missionaries of our time. So when I quote what he said, I'm not quoting some kid that just got out on the field. I'm quoting a man that's been out there years and years, and it's been back and forth to the United States of America, and here's what he says about the church in America. The greatest enemy that the church has is the American dream. Now that's what Darrell Champlin said, great missionary. It's the greatest enemy that the church has is this American dream, where we want to spend all of our money on self and not get the work of God done. Hurts, don't it? Do you realize that over $100 billion this year will have been spent on leisure activities? $100 billion on leisure activities here in America? Over that $100 billion. Do you understand in Noah's day that they too had no thought of God, that they too was interested in leisure and pleasure was the main goal of their life? Did you understand, and I realize and understand this when I make this statement, I know that in those days they didn't have a Bible like we have. They didn't have a church like we have. I understand that. The church wasn't formed then. They didn't have a Bible completed in those days, but they had the Word of God speaking to them. From the very beginning, Adam and Eve had the Word of God. The instructions was given to Cain and Abel on what kind of sacrifices they should bring, or God would not have held Cain accountable for the bringing the wrong sacrifice. Instruction had been given to them, and they've had instructions. God has spoke to his people down through the years. And say, back in those days, they wasn't interested in the Bible, the Word of God. They wasn't interested in what we would call church. They wasn't interested in heaven or hell. They wasn't interested in their own soul. They was interested in eating and drinking and being merry. That's what they was interested in. They was caught up in the entanglements of life. Now, we're no different today in America. We're caught up in the entanglements of life in America, and not too many people nowadays are interested in the Bible. There are not too many people interested in church. Not too many people interested in whether they're going to heaven or hell or their own soul's condition. They're interested in how much money they can make and what things they can buy. And I say to you folks, you've got to be careful with this materialism. It will absolutely entangle you completely and fully. America has followed the rest of the world. They've turned their back on God like the rest of the world. They didn't know God. And because they didn't know God, they glorified him not as God. Became vain in their imaginations. Wickedness. We don't know God in America. We're generations that's raised up and don't know God. No, not the real God. Not talking about a few people. Not talking about people that do know God. I'm talking about as a whole in America, we do not know God. We're just like it is in the days of Noah and the days of Lot. And we need help, you see. We've done, and we've just exactly followed just exactly what the world has done, what those who are outside of God has done. We've followed them along. Told our people this morning in Sunday school, we're in Proverbs, the 16th chapter, when I talked about here in 14th chapter, 34th verse, righteousness exalts in the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. He tells us over in the 16th chapter, he says in the 12th verse, it is an abomination to kings to commit wickedness, for the throne is established by righteousness. A throne, a rulership, an authority ought to be established through righteousness. And he says it is a wicked, abominable thing for a king to do wickedness. It's wrong. The leadership in America, to God, it's an abominable thing. The way they performing wicked acts and doing wicked things, and the throne up there in Washington, D.C. is not established in righteousness anymore. And we need to realize that there's a reason for that. And it's because the church, I believe, in America has not preached and has not done right, has not lived right, but has got lax and got weak. And we've allowed all these things in our congregations. We've allowed them in our communities and said nothing about them. Absolutely nothing about them. And because of that, we're establishing thrones not in righteousness, but instead in unrighteousness. America has absolutely scoffed at God's righteousness. They make fun of it. They laugh at it. They care nothing about it. They want nothing to do with it. The righteousness of God is a perfect righteousness. It's not sin, wholesale sin, do what you will, do what you want. No, no, no. But America has scoffed at the righteousness of God. They laugh at people who want to live righteously. They've scoffed also at the Word of God. The Word of God is God's Word. It's absolutely, it's true. It's never changed. It never will. It'll always be the same. It'll always be perfect. It'll never be anything else. But no, America is scoffing at the Word of God today. And because of that, we're where we are today. They ridiculed and persecuted God's people. They laugh at those who want to go to church and do right and live right and be honest and be what God wants them to be. They laugh and ridicule those kind of people. They're considered old fogies. But let me assure you, God doesn't consider us old fogies. God considers us a people who wants to obey the precious Bible, the Word of God. So America has scoffed at the things of God. America has become lovers of them own selves, as the Scripture says in 2 Timothy. Let me say to you that the reason why there's broken marriages in America by the hundreds and the thousands, let me tell you why. Because of selfishness. There's not a marriage in this land that cannot be straightened out and helped and built if they'll do it God's way. But you know why marriages break up? Because, oh, I want it this way. I want it that way. No, I'm not going to do this. Selfishness, self-gratification. And that's why multitudes of marriages are breaking up all over this land. That's why we have so much crime in America, is because they want something they do not earn. They do not deserve. They did not go out and earn it. But they want it. I want it anyway. I want to rob a bank so I can have money. It's self-gratification. It's selfishness is why we have so much crime. You know why there's sexual perversions in America? Selfishness. They want to feel this. They want to feel that. They want to do this. They want to do that. No matter what they do to someone else, it's selfishness. And we have that all over this land of Americans because of her spiritual condition. Did you know even suicide is a selfish act? Suicide is a horrible, selfish act. You're saying, I don't care what God thinks about it. I don't care what all those around me think about it. Don't make any difference how they feel. I'm just going to end it all. Selfishness. Let me ask you a question on this suicide thing. Do you think God would want you to commit suicide? Do you think your friends and your loved ones would want you to commit suicide? It's selfishness. It's because of something you want. I want to get out of this. You're not going to get out of anything committing suicide, but you think you are. I'm going to hurt so-and-so if I commit suicide. No, you're not. You're hurting yourself. You may hurt them, but you're hurting yourself. You're hurting God. You're going against everything that God teaches. All it comes down to is that selfish act that I'm going to end it, and that's selfishness. Let me say to you, this selfishness is reflected all over America today, and it's reflected in our churches today. It's reflected in our missions giving today. It's reflected because there's missionaries out there that need to get on the field and cannot get on the field because there's not money enough to get them on the field, and they had to go from church to church, sometimes 50, 60 churches to go to just get on the field and get the Word of God out. You know why? Because they're spending more money on cat food and dog food and chewing gum than they put into the offering for missions, to send missions to the field so the Word of God can be preached. I still feel like this mission thing is all out of whack. I really believe that with all my heart. I believe we'd probably be better. We do it here too, so I'm not saying anything, but I believe we'd much be better if we'd give a large amount to one missionary and start doing that and giving more to one missionary rather than scattered out between a whole bunch of them that has to travel every time they come home for a furlough and they have to go to 50, 60 churches. They don't have a furlough. They're more busy than they are over there where they're at. And it's because churches will give them $10, $15, $25 a piece sometimes. We give $50, and I really think we ought to up that. I really believe with all my heart we ought to do that rather than picking up a whole lot of more missionaries. I think we ought to up our mission giving to the missionaries. I just believe that. So that when they come home, they don't have to spend all their time. You've seen the Himeses up here? How long have they been up here to be able to stay in the mission house? They're traveling constantly, going to churches, giving reports. Nothing wrong with going to churches, giving reports. But folks, listen, when they come home for some relaxation, some rest from the field, from the work. Amen? Right. I'm just simply saying to you, America spends more on the dog food and the cat food and all that kind of things than they ever do on missions. Amen? And we're in real trouble. Amen? There's things that churches need. I'm thankful for this church. I mean it. I'm so thankful for you. We've got some good givers in this church. We do. We got folk who give from their heart. I want you to know I'm thankful for that. But I want to tell you right now, we need Sunday school rooms. We need Sunday school rooms. You know, we can't even get our Sunday school classes like they ought to be because we don't have Sunday school rooms. We need Sunday school rooms. We need to give. That's why we made it on Wednesday nights, except the one Wednesday night, which we've always put in missions given, plus our other mission given. Wednesday night, Sunday of the month, goes to missions. Rest of them is going to go to a building fund. We need to get money in the building fund. We need to build Sunday school rooms. Amen. We need that more than we need a cat food and dog food. Amen. Need that much more. Amen. We need to look at our spending and see what we're spending our money for and tighten up and give to the house of God so that we can get the work of God done. It ain't going to make any difference, folk, one of these days. It ain't going to make any difference when you get into eternity whether you had a house that was worth $100,000 or $10,000. It ain't going to make a bit of difference one way or another. It ain't going to make a difference if you drove a 1998 car or a 1988 car. In eternity, it isn't going to make any difference. Amen. Be much better to put some money into the house of God and get some Sunday school classrooms so we can teach boys and girls. We're working hard at it, but we're having trouble getting enough classroom. We don't have them. So we need to see things happen in the house of God. But materialism has caused God's people to so be entangled with the things of the world that they feel like they can't give like they ought to give because they're so entangled in the world. They owe everybody. They say, I have to pay my bills, but why did you make your bills so great? Amen. 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 Boy, I ought to hear about however many people's here. I ought to hear that many amens. I'm serious. I know you have to live. I have to live. You have to live. We know all of that. But I want to tell you, we ought to get this thing right on what we ought to be given to God. We ought to have that settled in our heart, what we're going to give back to the Lord as He has prospered us. Amen. We need that settled in our heart. Amen. So we see this is all reflected in the giving in churches, in missions giving, and given to the work of God, you see. So we find that materialism is something that absolutely is destroying America, and I believe it is. Now, I know the reason for materialism is spiritual, but materialism is bringing America down. We want to give glory to the political system. We want to give glory to the economy. I hear President Clinton and all those up in Congress and all of that up in there, boy, telling us how good our economy is. We want to say, boy, this is the great thing. This is a wonderful thing. And our political system, you hear the Democrats, you hear the Republicans, and all of them are bragging upon their political system and all that. I want to tell you why America's got anything. It's because of God. It isn't all this other stuff, things. Is it because they're so brilliant and so smart? It's because God Almighty has provided for us, you see, and we need to realize this. Did you realize, and let me say to you, materialism, I believe, helps bring this on the scene. People's got so much money today. Now you're going to say to me, you don't, but you and I both got more money than most folk ever have. And in these foreign countries, we have no idea how they live. But what I'm saying is, do you realize that somewhere between 20 and 25 million sex magazines are produced and sold every month? I said between 20 and 25 million of them. Where does the money come at for them? How much do they cost? What I'm simply saying, folks, is we got to get back to realize we're in trouble here in America. Terrible things are happening in America. Do you realize way over, and I don't have the figure on it, but I read one time, way over 100,000 women go into prostitution every year? Do you realize that's happening here in America? Do you realize all these sex perversion magazines that people are reading them and they're selling that many, and how many more is reading each one of the magazines? Do you realize that they tell us that way over half of all the women from 15 to 19 years of age has already had sexual activity in their life? Why is that? Is it right? Is it godly?
No.
Certainly it isn't. But do you realize that's happening right here in America? Do you realize the multitudes of homosexuals that's in this land today? And we have a group out there wanting to say, no, don't treat them bad, don't do this. But God in His Word absolutely condemns homosexuality. Do me a favor, if you will. Bless your heart. If you're a man, don't put a ring in your ear. I just can't hardly stand to see a man with a ring in his ear. Because it stands more than what you know. Amen. Simply saying to you folks, homosexuality is going to destroy this nation. That's why God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. It was because of homosexuality. And I want you to listen to what God said in the book of Ezekiel, the 16th chapter of the book of Ezekiel. Here's what He said about homosexuality. He said about Sodom. He called her their sister, Sodom. Here's why she got in the condition she was in. Listen to it. Here's what He says. Pride, these are the things that caused them to get into that condition, was pride, fullness of bread, abundance of idleness, failure to strengthen the hand of the poor and the needy, and haughtiness. Now I want you to listen very closely, folks, because we've got them all in America. We're a proudful people. And we're full of bread. We got more than what we'll ever need. And we've got all kinds of idle time. Now you'll say, Brother Ross, that don't fit me. That's because you've arranged your schedule. People today have so much idle time, they can do all kinds of things, play things, pleasure things. They can do whatever they want to do. You know, I'm still one that still believes you ought to work 6 days a week. Well, you know, that's what the Bible says. No, I don't mean you have to work at a job 6 days a week. If your job works 5 days a week, that's fine. But you ought to work at home. You ought to do something. You ought not to just sit down. You ought to work. Get our young people working like that. They'd learn how to go out and do right and work one of these days. I still believe it's right to work 6 days a week. I just believe that. I don't want to go home and just sit down. I want to do something. Amen? Sure. Why? Because it's proper. It's right. But that's why Sodom was why she was, is because of her failure then to strengthen the hand of the poor and the needy and haughtiness in her life. Those all came. You see, that's why sodomy came about in their land. That's why we've got it in America today. I know we talk about abortions. Abortions is a horrible, terrible thing. But why do we have those abortions in America? Why in the world could any person go out and kill a baby? Now, how could we do that? It's because of spiritual problems, folks. It's because in our hearts. It's not right in our hearts, or you couldn't do that. You say, boy, that's a new thing. This abortion is a new thing. Killing babies, new thing. Oh, no, that's not new. That's what they did back in Egypt before the Israelites left Egypt. That's what they did in the days of Jesus. King Herod killed all the babies. This isn't new. Satan hasn't got a new plan. He's just using the old plan. And now we're killing somewhere between 1.2 and 1.5 million babies every year in America. Just right here in America. It's unbelievable. I can't even imagine such a thing as that. But how could a country, how could a nation do that? Because of her spiritual condition. She cares more about money, do not want the responsibility of parenthood. Friend, children are given to us as a heritage of the Lord. It's our responsibility to raise them, to give the time that it takes, no matter what it takes, to raise them in the admonition and the nurture of the Lord. And whatever time it takes to do that, that's our responsibility to do that. That's just being a parent. Yes, sir. Amen? That's just the way it is. And God expects us to do those things, you see. But killing babies is not something new. Alcohol is the nation's number one drug problem.
Right.
Horrible. Alcoholism. people drinking, getting drunk all over this nation. Do you realize there is alcoholics at the age of 10 now in America? Do you realize there's multitudes of alcoholics between the age of 10 and 17 in America? I'm not talking about somebody who just picks up a drink once in a while. I'm talking about alcoholics. They're hooked on it. And then imagine all the millions that's hooked on it that are adults. Of course, we must mention the spiritual perversions that are in America. We see all of the witchcraft, the spiritualism, the cult material, and all of those things that's being produced. We simply need to realize that what America needs to do is turn back to God. A nation that forgets God, God will turn into hell, the Bible says. We need to realize that. What happens is when we get too much money, we begin to procrastinate on certain things. That's what happened in the days of Noah's day. They were spiritually ignorant of the things of God until they didn't realize the flood was even going to come till it came and took them all away. Didn't even realize it. They were spiritually ignorant of the things of God. And let me say to you today, people today in America is spiritually ignorant. Although they got Bibles laying everywhere, they're spiritually ignorant. They do not understand that Jesus Christ is coming soon. They're taking that time that God has allotted them. You know, back in the days of Noah, 120 years in building the ark, he allotted those people 120 years to get ready, to get on the ark and get prepared and ready, and they just trifled it away. They're also doing that because they've neglected the Word of God. The Word of God is God's Word, folks. It's the Bible. It's the Word of God. And we ought not to neglect His wonderful letter to us. It's a precious, precious book. And we need to read it. And yet again, I say to you, the multitudes do not pick up their Bibles all week long and never read anything from the Bible, the Word of God. Now, I don't know what you do. You can answer that right now in your heart. Do you pick up the Bible? Do you read the Bible? That's God's Word, folks. That's God's Word. Do you pick up? You'll say, well, I'm too busy. Now, that's foolishness, and you know it. It's foolishness. See, what it is, we've got so much. We've got so much things. We've got so material things that we're so caught up in the material world, we don't have time to sit down and read the Bible and study God's Word. Shame. Shame. Not only that, in those days, they were a people who sneered at the work of God. You know, Noah was building that ark, and people laughed and sneered at him over the work of God. And at the same time, that work that was going on was the most unusual work had ever taken place. There had never been anything built like that ark. Never. It was an unusual work. And do you realize the church is an unusual work? Do you realize the work of God in the church is an unusual work? It's like nothing else. And people are sneering at it today and laughing at the work of God that's being done. They think it's silly for us to want to come to church on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. They think that's silly. They think it's silly for us to want to go out and knock on a door and tell people about Jesus Christ. They think that's silly. They laugh at it. They sneer at it. But folks, it's not silly. It's the work of God. And we're living in a time where folk are sneering at that. Even Christians are sneering at it. I've had so many pastors tell me, well, you know, we don't have a bus ministry anymore. We just shut her down. Just didn't work. Why don't you have a bus ministry? Why don't we still bring boys and girls into the house of God through the bus ministry? Are they still out there that needs to be brought in? Sure. They tell me they don't have visitation programs, and I think sometimes we don't have much of one. Because there isn't too many people come. But visitation programs are still right and proper. Going door to door is still right. Still right to knock on doors and tell people about Jesus. It's still right. Amen. If it is ever right, it's still right. Amen. So I say to you folks that people can sneer about the work of God and they can sneer about it all they want to sneer about it. But the work of God must be done. And they can laugh at it if they wish, but the work of God must be done. Not only that, they scoff at God's people. They laugh and mock at the people of God. I'm sure they've done the same thing to Noah. But you know, I got to thinking that Noah, before the flood, was in minority. But did you ever think about the fact that after the flood, he was in majority? I don't know if you ever thought about that, but I thought about that. I thought, that's pretty good. I mean, they can laugh all they want. They, you know, here's that silly Noah out there doing what he's doing. You know, ain't he silly, building that ark? We're not going to get in with Noah. But it wasn't long they wished they had it. Amen. So if they want to scoff at the people of God, let them scoff. They want to make fun of God's people, let them make fun of God's people. It's all right. Let them do it. It's what they've done all down through the ages. It makes no difference. We know where we stand. We know who we serve. We know what is true. And this Bible is true. God's Word is true. God sent the Holy Spirit of God to this earth to dwell in each and every Christian, born again Christian. I don't know whether you understand it tonight, but when you received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God, came in to live. You have someone very wonderful living in you. He's the only reason you want to serve God. He's the only reason you want to do good. He's there convicting and teaching and training. The Holy Spirit of God. It's not unusual for the world not to want to love God. That's not unusual. That's normal. But it is unusual and abnormal for a Christian not to want to love God. That is not normal. That's abnormal. And God put the Holy Spirit of God in us, and He uses us then as a light to hold up the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We become the salt of the earth, and the Holy Spirit of God bears witness through us, using us as a testimony to the wonderful grace of God. That's what the church is all about. Now, what happens is this. Materialism begins to take over and begins to set the Holy Spirit aside because we've got other things we'd rather do and more important to us than letting the Holy Spirit of God direct our life. Materialism is the enemy of the church. Absolutely enemy. And when we love the materialistic world more than we love the work of God, we're in real trouble. Now you mark that down, and let me tell you something about preaching, okay? Let me tell you something about preaching. Preaching is not really designed, although we trust and want it to happen. But preaching is not so much designed to change those that don't want to be changed. Preaching is designed to encourage those who believe that they'll be stronger. You say, Brother Ross, boy, through your preaching, I hope so-and-so gets changed. Well, I do too. I really do too. But more than likely, a lot of people will never change. They're materialistic now. They're going to be materialistic tomorrow. This message won't change that. But to you who believe the truth of the Bible, you'll be strengthened by it. You'll know that what this preacher said tonight is true. Amen? And that's what it's designed for. There's those who will never pay attention to the Bible, the Word of God. They never will. There's those who will spend the rest of their life in a materialistic world, and that's all they'll think about, that's all they care about, and that's all that's the whole goal of their life. But to you who knows better, you'll be strengthened by the fact that the Word of God encourages you to do right. And you'll be strengthened to go out there and not let this world entangle you in it. Amen. So I say to you, I trust there'll be people changed by it, but many times they're not. But I do believe many of you will be strengthened by it. And you'll know and you'll be able to say that's right. You know, that's why I give you some instructions concerning Christmas. I realize I can't control your spending. I don't have any desire to control your spending. All I'm doing as a preacher is trying to tell you, don't get in debt. Don't do that. It's not worth it, folks. It's just not worth it. Amen? Just don't load those credit cards up. Don't do that. Why? For your sake and for the work of God's sake, don't do it. Amen? And you might ask yourself in Christmas, how much have you thought about giving to the work of God as a Christmas present? I think that'd be good, don't you? If we'd include the work of God in on our Christmas purchasing, Christmas buying. I'm simply saying to you folks, be careful. Materialism get a hold of you, and it's got you, and it'll tie you up for years because you can't get loose from it. You owe everybody in the country, and you can't get by it. You can't get loose from it. You hear me? So be careful. Love God, walk with God, serve Him, and just keep on doing right. Amen. Hopefully someone will say, Brother Ross, I believe you're right, and change the way they live. But you out there that are doing right and want to do right, you just be encouraged by it, and you do right. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you again today for your goodness and your kindness, your wonderful grace, your mercy, your love, all that you've done for us. We want to thank you, Father, for helping us and meeting the needs of our life. And Father, tonight we ask you, as we've, brought a message trying to encourage and help God's people, those who want to do right, we trust that you'll encourage their hearts and help them. Father, there's those who I'm sure that maybe might look at it and say, you know, I need to do that, and maybe we'll be changed by it and helped by it. We trust that's true. And Lord, we trust also if there's anyone here that's never put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Lord, never been born again, has never realized that they're a sinner in God's eyes, and they must be born again. They must come to Christ and be saved. We trust that this will be the day for their salvation. Now we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.